Grace, mercy, and peace be to you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. As I mentioned to the kids, like last week we talked about evergreens, whether they are the Christmas trees or the wreaths of holly. And remember last week we talked about how those are used to help us prepare for Christmas by ultimately pointing us to Christ, because the evergreens remind us of the everlasting life that we have in Christ alone. And tonight we're going to focus on something that you put on those trees, which are lights. Whether on your tree, on your house, or maybe even your pastor, we'll explore how those lights can prepare us for the coming of Christ, both for his first advent and for his second. You can go just about anywhere and see lights during the season. And I got to say, there's a debate in our house whether colored lights are better or the white lights are better. Maybe you've had that conversation in your house. Wherever you land in that debate, the fact still remains. We tend to decorate our homes or our trees with lights, both on the inside and the outside. There's some neighborhoods around town, of course, that have competitions, either officially or unofficially, to see which household can put on the best neighborhood light display. Communities string lights on their streets and poles. Here in Bloomington, the square's lit up starting the Friday after Thanksgiving during the canopy of lights. You can drive through the Monroe County Fairgrounds for the Holiday of Lights drive-through Christmas display. There's lights all over. Maybe some of you have been to either Disney or Silver Dollar City and seen their big, impressive light displays around the Christmas season. Well, it's certainly no amusement park here, but in our sanctuary and throughout our facility, there are lights for the season. Our Advent wreath here beside the altar holding those five candles that we progressively light as we come closer and closer to Christmas. Two Christmas trees are wrapped with strings of clear electric lights that shine like the galaxy of stars. The candles in the windows upstairs, though they're battery-powered, they still give a warm, soft glow in the midst of darkness. Have you wondered why we decorate with lights in Advent? Right? It's not only for sentimental value, though there is that. There's a deeper significance that stretches back in history. Last week we learned that the use of Christmas trees began in Germany in the Middle Ages. The practice of attaching candles to those Christmas trees began somewhere around in the 1500s. In fact, tradition says that Martin Luther was the first one to do that. The practice caught on and became more common. Candles were attached to the trees, to the branches with pins, then holders, then lanterns. These lights reminded Christians of the lights that accompanied Christ's birth, including that Bethlehem star and the angels who lit up the night sky with the glory of God. They reminded people that Christ is the light of the world. You know, eventually the German immigrants in the 18th and 19th centuries brought these traditions to America. And over time, the practice of decorating evergreen trees with lights was adopted by all sorts of other communities in the States. Now, of course, in America, we're known for our innovations, and that includes the development of the Christmas lights. After the invention of the electric light bulb by Thomas Edison in 1880, it wasn't long until his company developed a string of incandescent lamps to be used as Christmas decorations. At first, one electrical string held eight bulbs, each the size of a walnut. They were expensive. By the 1930s, strings of lights became more affordable, and then by the 50s, they became standard decorations on the interior and exterior of American homes. You know, today, over 150 million sets of holiday lights are sold in the United States each year, lighting more than 80 million homes and consuming a whopping 6.6 billion kilowatt hours each December. And to put that in perspective, in 2015, that was more than the country of El Salvador used the entire year. That's a lot of energy to light up those lights. Christmas lights are beautiful, but for Christians, they hold a much deeper meaning. For in the scriptures, darkness is the symbol for sin, and light is the symbol for righteousness. For example, you read Proverbs 4, 18 and 19, which read, "But the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn, which shines brighter and brighter until full day. And the way of the wicked is like deep darkness. They do not know over what they stumble." So the lights at Advent and Christmas point us to the purpose of Christ's advent, to remove sin and to restore us to righteousness, to take us from a path of darkness and destruction and lead us on a path of light and life. The fall into sin brought spiritual darkness to humanity. People lived in the darkness of evil and deception, but God promised a light to break the darkness of sin. That light would appear with the advent of the Messiah. The prophet Isaiah foretold the luminous impact the coming of the Christ would have. When he wrote, "The people who have walked in darkness, they have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of deep darkness, on them has light shone." The prophet went on to announce that this light breaking in through the birth of a child, the Son of God. "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given." Now, Isaiah's prophecy was fulfilled in the coming of Christ into the world. Jesus' birth was signaled by the light of a special star that guided the wise men. Remember reading these words? "Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose, and we have come to worship him.' And then after listening to the king, they went on their way, and behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy." This brilliant astronomical beacon led them to the newborn king. Of course, then, his birth was also heralded by the luminous glory of the Lord that shone about the shepherds. And the angels were there making the announcement. John's gospel doesn't narrate the events of Jesus' birth, but it does describe the impact of that birth. John wrote, "The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. Jesus came to enlighten everyone with his own righteousness and glory." And later, when he had become an adult, Jesus announced, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Brothers and sisters in Christ, by grace through faith, we who were once in the darkness of sin now receive Christ's light of righteousness and glory. The Apostle Paul declared, "For God, who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." The candles of the Advent wreath, the lights on the Christmas tree, they celebrate this first advent of Christ, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. But these lights also point us to the second advent of Christ. Jesus' return will inaugurate a new creation in which the darkness of sin ends and the light of righteousness endures forever. We who are made righteous through faith in Christ will abide in the fullness of his light in that eternal righteous realm. The final chapters of the scriptures use that symbolism of light to reveal the brilliant future Christ will inaugurate for us at his second advent. Revelation 21, 23, and 24 depict it in this way. And the city has no need of sun or moon to shine on, for the glory of God gives it light, and its lamp is the Lamb. By its light will the nations walk. That's what we have to look forward to. But today, and for a little while longer, we still see the darkness of sin in our fallen world and in our own sinful nature. But you and I, we're not called to walk in darkness, but to live in the light of Christ. We're called to disavow that sin and repent of the darkness that is within us. Because the righteousness of Christ, imputed to us by faith, we need not fear a dark future in eternity. Instead, we anticipate the final advent in which Jesus will disperse the darkness forever and bring us to dwell in his glorious light forever. We are baptized into Christ. We have been united with Christ in a death like his, raised to walk in newness of life, a life of living in the light, being made right with our Lord, and we look forward to dwelling with Christ in the fullness of his light in the last day. And we all say, Amen, come Lord Jesus. Light decorations are visible everywhere this season, whether it be sparkly lights or candles or LEDs. They convey a powerful message, and that's this. The light of Christ's righteousness has come to disperse the darkness of sin. And that's what Advent's all about. The eternal glory that Jesus won for us at his first coming, and that we will experience fully at his second coming. I mentioned our Christmas Eve service, and I think that's one of the most poignant parts of using light that we have in our church tradition. As we drive up for service, the lights along the pathway lead us into the sanctuary. And during the service, we take the candles that are dark, and then we have them lit from the Christ candle in the center of the wreath. It's a beautiful reminder of how we are made to be light in this world because of Christ, who is the true light of the world. And though we extinguish our candles in the sanctuary, we leave that hour of worship guided by the same lights along the drive, reminding us that the light of Christ is to go out into the world around us. So every time you look at Advent and Christmas decorations emanating light, I want you to remember their message. Jesus has come, and he will come again to bring you and all who believe the light of his righteousness and glory. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, the light of the world. Amen.